Now we talk about the Middle East and in particular Syria, Lebanon, and the issue of schooling amongst children. We join on the line live from Lebanon by Bassam Khawaja. Bassam is from Human Rights Watch. His work focuses on the Middle East and North Africa, and in particular child refugees and the right to education. Bassam, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam.
Jazakumullah khair
for having
us. But some 250,000 Syrian children are not enrolled into formal education. Tell us more.
So, Lebanon is a tiny country of about 4.5 million people. Since 2011, they've taken in more than 1.1 million registered Syrian refugees. Of that number, about 500,000 are school-aged children who should be in classrooms. But nearly a quarter million of them are currently out of school.
That number is really, really shocking to think that a quarter million children out of school, absolutely unbelievable, really. Now, Bassam, when we look at this and the issues surrounding these, what are the main factors keeping kids out of the classroom?
Sure. So the government has taken substantial steps to try to enroll Syrian kids in the classroom since the beginning of the refugee crisis in 2011. They've allowed Syrians to enroll in public schools for free without having to have legal status in the country. They've opened up second shifts just for Syrians in more than 230 schools across the country. But there's several barriers that are still keeping kids from actually getting into these spaces. So last year, the government tried to enroll 200,000 refugees in classrooms, but they were only able to get 158,000 into the public school system. So really an enormous kind of lost in terms of the number of kids still out of school. The biggest issue is really that Syrian families are faced with really daunting residency requirements in Lebanon that have made about two-thirds of them lose their status in the country, which means that they're unable to move around freely and they can't work. This means they can't pay for basic school-related costs like transportation. In many cases, they're depending on their children for work, so they're pulling kids out of the classroom and into the child labor force. So really the entire refugee response from Lebanon has had a big impact on the ability of Syrians to enroll their kids in school.
Then on the other end, what about Syrian children with disabilities? We understand they face particularly daunting challenges.
Absolutely. Our research showed that Syrian kids with disabilities have really almost been left out of the humanitarian response completely. Families we spoke with told us that Syrian kids were basically turned away from Lebanese schools on the basis of their disabilities, and even in the rare cases where they were able to enroll, schools aren't able to give them quality education on an equal basis with others. This is a broader problem in Lebanon that affects also Lebanese kids with disabilities, but given the precarious living conditions of Syrians and the fact that they don't have access to other forms of education for kids with disabilities in the country, it's really a particular problem for them.
Yes, so there are various angles to this. What about the language barrier in schools? Is that also a factor for kids? Why are concessions not made for certain refugee students who don't speak French and English?
Absolutely. So the common language in Lebanon is actually Arabic, which most Syrians speak. But in the Lebanese public school system, starting in seventh grade, most classes are taught in English and French, which Syrian children aren't familiar with. And so this is a huge issue for them, especially older kids who take a longer time adapting to these languages. Now, some children are starting to learn how to speak English and French, but again, it's a huge barrier for a lot of kids and causing many of them to drop out. The issue here is really that there need to be language support programs funded by international donors to make sure that kids can get the support they need to learn the languages to be able to participate fully in the classroom.
Yes, now what about your interviews, and in particular there's a very interesting one with Khadija, 14-year-old originally from Quintira, who has written and illustrated details of her experience typing to enroll in schools in Lebanon. Tell us about what she shares.
Absolutely. So Khadija was an amazing young woman who we met in the Bekaa Valley in Lebanon. This report is based off of about 150 interviews with Syrian refugees across the country. Human Rights Watch always bases our research really through direct interviews. And in the middle of the interview, Khadija pulled out a book that she had actually written about her experience in Lebanon. And so essentially she was someone to whom education was incredibly important. She came to Lebanon and was initially unable to enroll in school. A public school turned her away just because she was Syrian. This was something where school directors initially and even today are taking, you know, even when the Ministry of Education wants to let Syrian kids come in, individual school directors are arbitrarily sometimes turning them away. And so she was eventually able to enroll in a non-formal school in Lebanon, which is fantastic, but it's not a certified school, which means it's not recognized by the government. She will not get a certificate. She will not be able to take official exams. And so even though she's learning now, it's really not a perfect situation. And what children need is full access to formal education for all children in Lebanon.
What has Lebanon said regards to lost revenue due to the war in Syria and the burden of hosting refugees? What is it costing them?
Absolutely. And so exactly like you said, there's two big factors here. One is the war in Syria and kind of the economic and trade losses, given that Syria is Lebanon's larger neighbor. And the other is the presence of the refugee population. And so Lebanon and the world, Lebanon quotes the World Bank in estimating that the current crisis has cost them about $13 billion in the past 5 years. This is obviously an enormous number. It's also strained Lebanon's already overstretched resources in terms of basic things like water, healthcare, job opportunities, and absolutely education. Really, what needs to happen here is that richer, larger, more prosperous countries need to be sharing some of this load. And so last year, even though Lebanon's education response was fully funded, the actual overall response plan to cope with the Syrian refugee crisis in the country was only funded about 62%. And so there's still an enormous gap in the ability of the government to be able to provide the services that Syrians need and to cope with the economic impact of the crisis.
What needs to be done to better the education system for Syrian refugees in Lebanon?
Mm-hmm. So there's a number of things that need to happen. And this is, again, where really international donors need to step up. We see it as actually an opportunity for the Lebanese education system, which has struggled even before this current refugee crisis, when about the parents of only 30% of Lebanese children actually chose to send them to public school. And so the rest of them were in fact, in private school even before this current crisis. So donors need to absolutely be stepping up with international aid to help rehabilitate schools, to be able to better train teachers and improve the quality of education, to make sure that Lebanese schools become inclusive, that they actually include children with disabilities with a quality education, and to also be able to step up a support to older Syrian kids to make sure that they can enroll. Numbers of older Syrian kids in Lebanese schools are actually shockingly low. At the beginning of 2015, there were about 80,000 kids who were aged 15 to 18 and should be in secondary school. By the end of the year, only 2,280 Lebanese kids were actually enrolled in public Lebanese secondary schools, so about 3% of the total number.
Yes, really, really dire situation, undoubtedly. We appreciate your time. Bassam, jazakumullah khair for chatting to us on Radio Islam.
Thank you so much for having me. Ma'a salama.